Good morning, everyone. That one announcement for before service, and then we'll catch the other announcements after service. Before service, I just wanted to remind everyone and those listening in this morning of the Zionism School Pancake and Sausage Breakfast that's coming up on Saturday, February 5th. It will be a carry-out breakfast only this year, so not drive-through, but carry-out. So park the car, walk in. Probably be some silent auction stuff. Walk in, maybe take a look at that while you're in line, pick up your meals, and then head out. The tickets, though, are advanced purchase only. There will be no tickets sold at the door. You can get those tickets through the school or through a ZLS student, and tickets should be purchased by Wednesday, January 26th. Also, the same is true for pre-ordering the sausage and bulk meats and the pieces that are left over, the necks and whatever other parts of the hog that is sold to make soups and other foods. But that's also by Wednesday, January 26th, and you can get in touch with the school office or get an order form from a Zionism School student. And Mrs. Thompson here says there's a blue order form. Did that come from the table? Okay, it was in the bulletin. Sorry, I got the early edition of the bulletin. It's in the bulletin. Also, there's a blue card table out there that has information on it. The other announcements can wait till the service is over. And we open our service with the singing of our first hymn, O Holy Spirit, Enter In.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the 8 a.m. January 16th, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Ken Richard. The Kathy Beaver Memorial Fund is sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God. David and Stephanie Opperman are sponsoring the altar flowers to the glory of God in thanksgiving for their grandson, John Lucas Brunchen, and his second birthday. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman, and our opening hymn is number 913, O Holy Spirit, Enter In, hymn number 913, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, beginning at the first verse. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And you shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review in regards to the Ten Commandments. What is the eighth commandment?
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest possible way.
The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 2nd chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary
and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets.
And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 408, Come Join in Cana's Feast. Hymn number 408 in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text for this morning, taken from today's gospel reading. Jesus was also invited to the wedding. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's all sorts of things that we can glean from this text here of Jesus being invited to the wedding feast at Cana. And it's clear that John intended his, or included this account in his gospel, so that we would see and understand how the disciples of Jesus viewed Jesus. Now this account of Jesus' activities at the wedding feast of Cana falls hot on the heels of Jesus calling his first disciples. So Jesus calls his first disciples, and then they're invited with him to this wedding here in this local town. Here at the wedding feast, Jesus changes water into wine, and as John records, this is the first of the signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. Now, I like that manifested his glory part, because we're in the Sundays after Epiphany, and Epiphany is a making known, and that's what manifested means. He made known his glory by changing water into wine. And John goes on to write, after this account, and his disciples believed in him. So the primary purpose of the changing water into wine was so that the disciples would begin to believe in Jesus. And that's important for all of us to understand. But there's also a lot of other things in here. And today, we're going to take a look at, and briefly in an overview fashion, because there's several topics buried within this account of Jesus at the wedding feast that could be entire sermons on their own. But we're going to look at two things, marriage and faith. Now, each of these both are very good things. We know that God instituted marriage at creation. Eve was given to Adam. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. The father usually gives away the bride. And as Christians, is that a reflection for us of Adam being given Eve? I don't know. You know, your mind wanders. You think about such things like that periodically in times. I don't know. Maybe that's valid. Maybe that's not valid. Maybe I'm just seeing stuff where nothing actually is. But we do know that God instituted marriage, and Adam beholds his wife, Eve, and Adam in his original state, when he beholds Eve, perceives who she is. For what does Adam say? He goes on to say, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then Moses goes on to tell us, for this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So marriage as an institution between one man and one woman is God ordained and good, because God beheld everything that he created, and he declared it to be good. Now, there's a lot of circumstances we don't know about this wedding that Jesus was at. We do not know if the couple was a wealthy couple or a poor couple. We don't know. We don't know if Mary was a member, extended family of the couple who was being married. No idea. We don't know if she was a regular guest. We don't know if she was helping out with the wedding. We don't know if maybe the bride's mother had passed away and Mary was standing in for the bride's mother. There's a lot of things that we certainly do not know. So we're going to have to content ourselves with simply this, that Jesus himself was at the wedding. And what was Jesus' wedding gift to the couple? It seems that his gift to the couple became gallons upon gallons of excellent, very fine wine. And as we see that gift that Jesus gave, we can also see that Jesus lets us know that marriage itself is God's work and God's arrangement and God's idea. So it doesn't matter how much people in any time of the world's history look down their nose at marriage, how much they say marriage isn't needed or anything like that, or they try and twist marriage to suit their own needs and thus despise God's creation and God's ordinance, God always acknowledges His gifts to us as a good gift. And we realize that since marriage is God's idea, our old Adam and our enemy Satan rebels against what is God's idea and what is God's good gift. They oppose it and seek to either make a mockery of it or cause people in marriage to suffer exceedingly and try and find much fault in their marriages and in each other. So let's note something here. Jesus changed water into wine. He did not take away the water and bring in some wine. He changes it. Now, perhaps this is stretching the text just a little too much, but God doesn't take away our troubles in life. God doesn't take away the troubles that we find or we have in married life. When one gets married, personalities do not magically change in any way, shape, or form. And as everybody knows, it's a lot of hard work to live in the married estate. And it's true that people who are married will have troubles. And how these troubles turn around from the plainness of water to the sweetness of wine really is just a wee bit puzzling to us. To all of us, as a matter of fact. But it's one of those things that you just have to live and go through to understand how it all works. Because it's darn near unexplainable how living together with somebody for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right, binds you together as one flesh. It's very, very interesting. Now, personally, I have to admit, one of the things that I get upset with God, yes, I get upset with God, the most is that He doesn't fix marital troubles between husband and wife. Right? What I want is the magic wand. Just poof! And everything's fine. Everything's good. Right? I want the zap. I want the quick fix. But generally, that's just not how God chooses to work. And it often happens that in marriage, the joys and the sorrows, the ups and the downs of married life, one finally looks at their spouse of many, many years and understands what a blessing they have been and how much poorer their life would be without the spouse whom they have committed their lives to, and that indeed the two really have become one flesh. I don't think that would come or would happen with a quick fix. When we get a quick fix, what do we want the next time? We want a quicker fix. And after that, we want a quicker fix after that, and then a quicker fix after that. Just make things go away. Don't work hard at it. Don't work through it. Don't work it out. Just make it go away. In the struggle, we come to appreciate and love our spouses even more and even more deeply. The quick fix would eventually lead somebody to just give up and quit when times got hard. And the quick fix didn't just happen. Now here, I think we can take a lesson from Jesus' mother Mary. Now the jury is really rather out on whether or not Jesus is being harsh with her. So when we read how Jesus spoke to his mother, everybody really is taken aback somewhat. They have no wine. Woman, what does this have to do with me? Now, we can read that in several different ways and try to understand it. You can read it with snark in your voice. Woman, what does that have to do with me? You can read it, as some commentators say, it was more of a term of respect. Dear woman, what does that have to do with me? Right? Just kind of the jury's out on how Jesus responded and answered his mom. It's a bit, wee bit puzzling to each and every one of us. Some say he's being harsh. Some speaks to her, say he speaks to her in a kind way. And we're probably not going to figure this one out this side of heaven. Who even knows why his mother asked him for help. That one's a head-scratcher, and that one's kind of puzzling. Also, did Mary know something about Jesus that we don't know? Why would she go to him? Why would she ask such a thing? Was she expecting some kind of miracle? I don't know. What did she expect him to do? He had a bunch of disciples with him. Maybe they were supposed to pool their money together and run off to the local wine merchant and bring some wine back. We don't know. It's an open question. But what do we know? We know that Mary asked her son for help. They've run out of wine. Well, what do you want me to do about that? It's not time for me to do things yet, responds Jesus. The answer to Mary from her son seemingly is no. How does Mary respond to Jesus' apparent no? Does she go off in a huff? Does she give up? Mm-mm. Neither one of those things. Mary's reply was one of trust. Whatever he says, go ahead and do that. It's kind of what she said to the servants. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Here, we must think of the battle of faith as we look at what Jesus' mother does and teaches us. She gets the answer of no, and yet she does not believe that Jesus is angry at her, nor does she believe that Jesus is in some way, shape, or form being unkind to her. Mary continues to trust in her own son's kindness. She will not let her hope be taken away, and she will not disgrace Jesus in her heart. Mary instructs the servants to attend to Jesus' word in just the same way as that she has trust in his kindness. Here, husband and wife must live in marriage and trust in the words of God in the exact same way. They must approach any trial and tribulation of marriage in the same way. Indeed, we as believers must approach all the trials and tribulations in our lives in the same way. Because sometimes, just sometimes, God lets the cup of trial be filled to the brim before he changes it into wine. Now you can imagine what a hellish battle of conscience, hellish battle the conscience feels, and the battle that the conscience goes through when our conscience thinks that God is saying to us what Jesus said to Mary, what does this have to do between you and me? When we feel on the inside that God is telling us no, or that God is pushing us away, what business do I have with you? One in such a trial may give up in despair. They may give up hope unless they know and understand the nature of God's works and have been trained in faith. Each of us, too, at some points in our life may hear God's no. But we want to respond in the way Mary responded, with trust and faith in God's goodness and kindness. We do not wish to walk away from him in unbelief. Mary did not walk away from Jesus in unbelief. She trusted in Jesus' goodness. And so it must be for us in our marriages and in every other aspect of our life. We must trust in God's goodness. We should do God the honor and give him the glory of him being kind and gracious, even when we ourselves don't see it in action and we ourselves don't see it happening. Even when we perceive God to be our enemy, faith continues to trust that God is good and that God will be gracious unto us. Mary is very and abundantly certain that Jesus will be gracious, even if outward looks told her everything else was absolutely different. And it did not seem so. What she sees is different than what she actually believes. Mary is freely committed to Jesus' kindness and Jesus' goodness, and Mary does not dictate to Jesus the time or place in which he would act, or the manner or measure in which he would act. She simply trusts that He will act in his own time and according to his own will and in his own way, Jesus will accomplish the things that are needed. So let us take a page from Mary's handbook. Let we as Christians do the exact same thing. Even when it appears to us, at least outwardly, that our Savior, our God, has forgotten us, we should continue to have faith in Him and trust in Him. Even when it seems that all His answers to us are no or even worse than no, let faith, trust, and believe that that which is good, Jesus will accomplish for us in His way, in His time, and according to His purpose. And so the words of Mary, do whatever He tells you, are words that a Christian should hold in their heart and mind each and every day of their life. Do whatever He tells you. Let us all stick to God's words, Christ's words, and not look away for them, for He promises to work out all things to the good of those who love Him. And in this way you will have a faith that does not fail. Rather, you will have a faith that trusts in God's goodness. Today in our text, wine is given. But not just wine. Good wine. The very best of wine. And it was given not sparingly, but in abundance. And by this miracle, Jesus implores each and every one of His disciples to continue to trust in Him and to believe confidently in Him and to remain trustful and faithful to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Savior, You blessed marriage and judged it good by Your presence at the wedding in Cana. We ask You that You would bless the marriages of Your people, not that You would remove trial or difficulties from Your people's lives, but rather that You would grant unto all families the faith that in each circumstance expects all good things from You. Lord, in Your mercy. Heavenly Father, giver of life and all good gifts, accept the thanksgivings of Marilyn Clockingay as she has recently celebrated her 86th birthday. Thank You, O Lord, for the gifts of life, family, and friends given to Marilyn, and we boldly ask for more years for her that she may enjoy all that You now give. Lord, in Your mercy. Heavenly Father, please accept the thanksgivings and the praises of Larry and Nancy Gunterman as they thank You for the birth of another grandson given unto them and his parents. We ask that You would watch over this young man and this new baby in their family, that he may come to true faith and be brought to the waters of holy baptism, there to be made Your child and Your heir. Lord, in Your mercy. Hear us, O Christ, as we pray for those who are sick or in need of healing. Grant, O God, healing to Carl Awe so that his body would find strength and well-being, and that Carl may soon return home from the hospital. We also ask that You would be Paul Hilgendorf's constant companion, just as You have been for his 104 years thus far. Lord, as Paul's body grows weaker, may his trust in You grow ever stronger. Lord, in Your mercy. Loving God, be near us as we pray for the families. Hear us as we pray for the families of Judy Spencer, and Norma Edwards, as these families mourn the deaths of their mothers and grandmothers. May the families that grieve ever look forward to the resurrection of the dead and a glorious reunion with those who have died in the faith. All these things we ask in the prayer of name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, and just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.
Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory. With you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Number 610. Hymn number 610 is found in the Lutheran service book. The next communion hymn is Just As I Am, Without One Plea, found in the Lutheran Service Book on page 570.
Thank
We rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. The closing hymn is number 400, Brightest and Best of the Stars of the Morning, number 400, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Okay, our other announcements for this morning. First, that there is junior high and senior high youth groups combined tonight, a Christian formation night here at Zion Lutheran Church, and that'll be from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's a Christian formation and also game night, so half and half for each topic. The young gentlemen, please bring your drinks, and the young ladies, please bring snacks. Also, just put it out there that the youth group still hopes to hold, as they've had for the senior members of our congregation, breakfast and board games, either a luncheon or an evening meal. But they're going to watch the positivity rate for the coronavirus and just watch for news of that to come later. And that won't happen till sometime in February. So, school board chairman, which position are you in today? Husband? Chairman?
Husband.
Yeah. We did do the announcements beforehand.
I just wanted to add one or two things on pancake and sausage. And so you guys heard the pastor was saying there were the blue and yellow flyers and the bulletins pointing towards meat ordering. And if you'd be interested in helping us out by sponsoring a hog, or sponsorships in any way is obviously wonderful as well, but we'll specifically take hog sponsorships, so look for that. And just a couple things that will be coming up. Hopefully by the end of this week, we'll have figured out all the different volunteer slots, so if you'd like to get involved in some way, be looking for that. Next weekend, what the volunteer opportunities are, on the 2nd, we'll be doing the work that needs done at the locker plants and the cutting of the meat and stuffing of the sausage. And then on the 4th, we'll be doing some setup, which is Friday night. And then Saturday during the breakfast, obviously, there will be plenty of opportunities to volunteer there. So if you're looking for any to get involved in any way, contact myself, Megan, or one of the other Challenger PTL committee members, which is a long list if you happen to know who they are. I won't book them all, but you can go through me or Megan if you need be. All right? I think that was, and ticket sales will be out in the foyer there. So
that's good, because we've been calling it the New Edition for 20 years.
Foyer, New Edition, I don't know.
Something. Walter Hall.
Out there.
And also, like to thank Nancy Gunterman for stepping up and playing organ for us as Dora is on a little hiatus here. She's had some medical procedures done, so she's going to take a break for a while. And Nancy stepped in the organ. So thank you very much, Nancy. We appreciate it greatly. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.